I was thinking about this old episode that I had recorded back in the past. I thought that it was a year ago, almost exactly a year ago. This is proof of concept that time definitely flies, and it feels like we're in a simulation sometimes. But it was actually from March of 2023. It was called The Sales Odyssey, and I was thinking about this episode. I recorded it, in March of 23, and I just re-listened to it. And I thought, let's do a commentary on that. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast. As always, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the show, but first I'm going to make sure that I thank my beloved sponsor, Jeannie Colwin Coaching. You may be familiar with Jeannie. She's a longtime friend of the show. She's been a guest a ton of times, a loyal sponsor, and even stepped in as my guest host when my entire family had COVID. It was a couple of years ago. Now she's back and currently has space to work with one-on-one clients. And if you're doing this TMS work and you're still stuck in symptoms, Jeannie helps you identify exactly what's blocking your healing and creates a clear and personalized plan to move forward. She'll be with you every step of the way, so you're not doing this alone. Her clients aren't just getting out of pain. They're breaking through all kinds of obstacles and creating lives that they didn't think were possible. If you're ready to let go of what's holding you back and get out of chronic pain or symptoms, go to JeannieColwin.com and book your free discovery call today. That's JeannieColwin.com. And book your free call. Okay. So like I said, back episode 267, The Sales Odyssey. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to replay that episode. It was 20 minutes. So, you know, one thing that I like to do with all podcasts, especially if I go back and listen to my own, is turn up on your podcast app. Take out your phone out of your pocket. If you're walking the dogs, good for you. Take the phone out of your pocket. Unlock it. Set it to 1.5 speed. Podcast will go by much faster. It'll be a 13 or 14 minute episode. Listen to The Sales Odyssey and let's come back. All right, I'm gonna give you a few minutes. A little bit different podcast today. I was texting with Barb, who is a patron, this morning about what the intention of today's podcast will be. So I've talked for years about how sales is my day job. It's my thing. And for years, I began in sales in 2008. I actually did nonprofit fundraising and sponsorship sales from 2008 until 2011. And so I would sell sponsorships to events. I would create, we had actually my title event, the one that I worked the hardest on pretty much the entire year, was at Lumen Field, which is where the Seahawks play. And at the time it was CenturyLink Field, or it might've still been Quest Stadium at the time. Could have even been Seahawks Stadium at the time. It was a large event there. Players would come, I would recruit cheerleaders to come. I would have bands come. I would have just all sorts of casts of characters. And we would have hundreds of people come and walk, raise money, bring teams to raise money for fundraising and research for services and for research at the University of Washington and at Children's Hospital for children and adults with neuromuscular disease. So I was very used to that life. I did that for 3 years, 2008 to 2011. 2011, I shift into tech sales, specifically HR tech sales. So if you're listening to this and you work in HR, particularly if you're in the United States, hit me up. But I sell HR software for my day job. And I have since 2011, despite a slight or a small break in that. Did tremendously well. I'd never worked in tech before, but I do feel like I have a knack for sales in general. Ultimately, just being able to have improv conversations, because that's really... I always tell my superiors that, hey, what a sales conversation is and a sales meeting and a sales pitch and a discovery call and all that kind of stuff, it's a podcast interview. That's like, that is what it is being able to listen, absorb the information, and be able to restate everything that we are talking about and trying to get across. So for the first five or six years that I was in technology sales, I did really, really well. And I was thinking about this, that at that period of time, so there's something in sales called, especially in tech, called President's Club. And what President's Club means is that you're at the top of your field. You're among probably the top 10% that work in your company. And usually what it includes is some kind of a trip to some destination, Mexico, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, like these exotic places that you can usually bring a plus one to. It's all expenses paid by the company. And it's the company's way of saying, hey, thank you for bringing in so much revenue and customers and continuous revenue and things like that. So 2012, I make my first President's Club. 13, President's Club again. 14, make President's Club again. 15, make President's Club again. And in fact, in 2015, I was the tippy top salesperson, won 3 different sales awards. I felt like I was unstoppable. And at that point in time, it would have been tough for you. You could have convinced me that I was the top salesperson in the world at the time. That's how I felt. Felt that I was just tremendously good at my job. Maybe too big for my britches. I was 29, whatever, at that time. But one of the awards that I got was that I was the only salesperson who every single deal that they sold, every customer paid, and every customer was satisfied and happy. So that meant a lot to me as well. The end of 2015, as I'm venturing towards making all of these career aspirations and goals, I have my shoulder dislocation, which I've talked about a lot. And as the weeks roll on after this, that was on Halloween in 2015. So I'm still fighting to achieve the utmost accolades, I guess, in sales in my company at the time. I'm really pushing myself to the degree of it not being necessarily fun anymore. It's just a lot of pressure and it's a lot of stress, and it's trying to be the best of the best. I don't know if you can hear the dogs in the background. Hopefully they'll stop barking in a second. So anyway, I go through the rest of that year. So the next 8 weeks or so, and I am just... Gosh, I wish they would stop barking. And now the ring is going off. This is what live podcast recordings do. Who is this? Let's look in our... Oh, it's Amazon. Okay. All right. Let me turn my ringer off. So I go through the rest of that year. I'm in tremendous amounts of pain. I'm taking painkillers, prescription strength painkillers, anti-inflammatories because of what's going on in my shoulder. I can't seem to get any sort of answers. So basically I'm spending all this time kind of jumping doctor to doctor and trying to get answers, physical therapists, chiropractors, all that kind of stuff. But I'm trying to achieve all these things at work. And at the same time, Zoe at the time she's 1.5. So I'm playing in a lot of different fields at this point in time. And the year ends. I remember my wife and I were going to Amy Schumer, and I had like my CRM open at midnight. And as soon as it ticked over to midnight, January 1st, 2016, our fiscal had ended, and I ran all the reports again, and I was number one. And it was like all that I'd wanted for years and years and years was to be number one. And I got it. So I get it. 2016 hits in January, and I get my actual diagnosis. I schedule my surgery. So I come out of, basically I had pushed so hard at the end of 2015 that I really sort of crushed my pipeline and any sort of potential deals that I could have closed in early 2016 at this point in time. The opening to 2016, the first couple of months was brutal. So wasn't really closing much of anything, and just wasn't having that good of a kickoff to the year. I then have my surgery in April, early April, which, you know, I have the surgery April 6th, and I have 6 weeks of being in a sling and only having one arm and being at home. And I took, I think, 10 days off of work for that. And so I wasn't even back in the office until late May or early June. And I was way behind. I think I had closed 1 or 2 deals in that first couple of months. That first couple of weeks. Yeah, first couple of months coming back. And essentially, I'd never been in a hole before. Usually, I started the year really, really hot, and then I would sort of normalize as the year goes on, and then I would make President's Club with a month or two to go. And in this particular case, in June, I had the arduous task of selling about 11 months worth of revenue over the course of 6 months. I'm going through the rehab process. I can't ride my motorcycle. I'm doing PT. I can't do weightlifting. I can't really do CrossFit. I can't do much physically of anything, but I'm going to work every single day, and that's really all that I have at this point in time. So continue to roll through this. We get into the summer. I've told the story many times. I told it on last week's podcast when I was at the University of Rochester, but I start really getting awful symptoms beginning in like late August of 2016. The window is continuing to shrink. I'm still way behind. And at this point, I've got about 9 or 10 months worth of sales I've got to make in 4 months in order to make President's Club. Continue pushing. I'm now in worse shape off than I was before my shoulder surgery. Everything hurts. I'm going to doctors. I'm going to physical therapists every single day. I'm not lifting. I'm not doing much of anything. I don't have my motorcycle. I don't have anything at all. My wife and I are talking about a second kid. I don't have anything really going for me other than work, and I can focus on that. I pushed and I pushed and I pushed, and I would keep this ticker on my monitor at work that would tell me, here's how many dollars you have to go until you're going to make President's Club, and I made it. Like, it was like December 29th or December 30th or something like that. Like, pushing my body to the absolute brink. I had flu-like symptoms in the few days. Like, I had 104 temperature. I was vomiting. I was all sorts of stuff. I was in really rough shape and still had all the thoracic outlet syndrome symptoms that went into that. That was going on previously. And now you throw all the stomach issues on top of that. But I made it. And I was, I guess, sort of proud for myself. But it was my fifth in a row. And again, sort of felt unstoppable at that point in time. We tick over to 2017, and again, start the year very, very slow. And at this point in time, I was really deep in the trenches with the pain. It was awful. And there was no answers getting from anywhere. I'm so far removed from like feeling like a normal person and having a normal life that I wasn't like suicidal or anything, but like, it didn't seem like there was anything positive that was coming out of life ever again. Fast forward a few months and like my career is pretty much down the toilet at this time. I think by June or July, I had sold 1 month's worth of quota. And I read Dr. Sarno's book at the end of June that year and stuck around for another month and then quit and didn't have a job after that. So I quit, and I quit in August of that year with no other job. Did some consulting on the side and did some fitness consulting and things like that. And so I had left all this success and kind of figured that my sales career was sort of over. And about 4 months later, I got an interview at an up-and-coming tech company that's very well-known today. And I started working there in January of 2018, shortly after Audrey was born. And it was just a year of awfulness. I didn't have it anymore. I felt like I'd lost so much confidence. And I used to think that I could walk in any sort of sales arena and just be great, and it would come to me, and I would keep working on my craft. But ultimately, I wasn't getting any better. I was just getting worse. And I felt like I kept looking at careers outside of sales because I don't know how I fell so far so fast, but I did. And I didn't really know what to attribute that to. So I spent a year at this company. It was the first time I've ever been laid off or fired from a job. That was January of 2019. And thankfully, my company I'm with now scooped me up very fast. I only had a few days off, actually, and then started at the new company. And it's been pretty good. I've finished at or near or slightly over 100% since I had been there. But the pandemic hit, you know, a year and change, 13 months after I started. And my entire job was face-to-face sales. So now pushed back inside and pushed back into an office and struggling to kind of find my way again and having to homeschool the kids and they're home all the time and trying to maintain this life. I mean, honestly, like 2021, our fiscal year runs July 1st to June 30th. And 2020 and 2021, good years, very good years, actually. But not enough to make it to our company's President's Club. And I started off this fiscal year, which began in July of 2022, very good. And then I had kind of a skid starting in like November or December and kept just having some anxiety around, am I going to be okay? But ultimately, like, hey, this is me. And I didn't really put too much pressure on myself and just knew that I had a confidence that things would work out. And ever since I've been at this company, in fact, when I went through and I did the went through the interview process in the beginning, and I was interviewing with one of the vice presidents, and he had asked me about like my time allocation throughout the day. How are you going to be able to manage all these things that you have during your day with like the job? And I had said that I felt very confident in the efficiency that I could bring to the table. But I also do this podcast, and a lot of the times the interviews and the things I'm working on are midday. They're at lunchtime. I also enjoy taking my kids to school in the morning, so I can't start until 9 o'clock. And I also want to do things like coaching when it's done. And so I might be ending at 4 or 4:30. You know, it's basically unapologetically me is sort of how I put it. And I remember I had longer hair and I had a beard and I had a boss who at this company who said that that didn't seem like it was appropriate for our, you know, for our customers, like that they may not be receptive to that. And again, I had just said, hey, if I go months without selling anything, then we can talk about it. Ultimately, I grew my hair past the mid part of my back and my beard very long, and it never impeded my results. I just continued to be me and had faith that whatever it was that I was doing, people would accept me for me, which is not the way that I handled my sales career prior to being here, starting here in 2019. But I've just continued that. And as of yesterday, made my first President's Club since 2016, when I was broken and TMS and all this bullshit took pretty much everything I had from me. So I'm tremendously proud of where I am. I'm having by far the best year of my career, being able to do all of the things that I want. I rode my one wheel today, being able to take lunch breaks of riding my motorcycle all around, being able to still take my motorcycle vacations, being able to act the way really that I want and just being who I am, being able to have my hair as long as I want and my beard looking the way that I want, doing podcasts in the middle of the week or in the middle of the day for you. It's been awesome. And I may never make another President's Club again, but this is the first time. I mean, again, we still have 3 months and change of this fiscal year to go, and I'm already there. It's the fastest I've ever made it in my career. So I'm just tremendously proud of myself for the way that I conducted business this year. And I think it's tremendous. And so I guess that if I want to get anything across in this 20 minutes of you listening to me talk about myself, I think that a big part of the TMS conundrum and the chronic pain conundrum is trying to be something that you're not. And not only does it not work out for you in most facets of life, but trying to be something that you're not, or trying to push yourself too hard, can really pay awful dividends for you and your health. And I just have it, my North Star, essentially, is just being who it is that I am. And you can take me or leave me, don't buy from me, buy from me, whatever. That's the approach that I've taken, and it's paid off tremendously. So with that being said, I'm going off on a solo trip to WrestleMania. I leave on Thursday the 30th, so you'll hear from me one more time before I take off on that trip. But I just wanted to thank all of you for sticking around this long for the podcast, not just today's episode, but close to 300 episodes in now. It has been a joy and a pleasure. And have a good night, everybody. Okay, so before I jump into the commentary, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the show. There's 20 of you. Most recently, Leslie, but there's also Justin, Mary, Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Tony, Christina, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all for continuing to support this podcast every single week, month, and year. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast if you want to learn more. So the Sales Odyssey. The whole idea of that episode is that I was so proud of myself for having years where I was so successful and then having years where I just completely fell on my face. And when my good years had ended at that time in 2017 was really, or 2016 was really when I, 2016 was really where my pain issues and all my symptoms and everything just felt like it was just collapsing and falling on top of me, which is not good. And then ultimately being able to get to a place where I was comfortable and confident in what it is that I am as a salesperson and a person overall, and being able to earn my way back into President's Club. So when I recorded that, I had made it, and there was still more than 3 months to go in that fiscal year. Move into the next year, 2024. Did something similar that I described in that podcast, where I had sort of emptied out The entire chamber, if you will, on all the deals or contracts or customers that I could possibly acquire, and wanted to finish that year very, very strong. Made me suffer quite a bit for the first few months of the next one, and I was pushing into 2024 all the way up to the very last day of 2024's fiscal, which was in June, and did make it. Went to the Cayman Islands or Grand Cayman with my wife, and it was a great trip. Then this most recent year happened, which was from July 1st of 2024 until June 30th of 2025. And when I tell you that did not achieve the successes I had in the past couple of years, I need you to just believe me. In fact, about roughly half of what I sold the previous year is what I did in the most recent year. There's a lot that I could point at that, but as I was listening to the Sales Odyssey when I was riding my one-wheel electric skateboard a couple minutes ago, set a new speed record, by the way, 16 miles per hour, which is pretty darn fast when you're on a skateboard. The thing that I kept talking about in that is really, really resonating is how I made sure that I went back to fundamentally who I am as a professional. What is my process? What do I feel comfortable and confident in doing? And that brought me a lot of success. This particular past year really sort of went against all of that, especially for the first 7 or 8 months of this past fiscal. And I struggled and I struggled and I struggled hard trying to adapt to be more successful, sort of taking a couple steps back in order to move forward. And that did not happen. Once I deviated away from that and was like, no, like your instincts are better than that. You've been doing this for so long. I've basically been in some kind of a selling capacity for 17 years post-college. And I know what to do, but did not trust that I knew what to do. And so my confidence came back a few months ago. But there's also just been a lot of other life stuff. I do my best, as do a lot of men. I'm sure women do this too, but men in particular are so good with compartmentalizing things, right? So like if work is very stressful, they block that out, sort of, you know, close the book, put it under the bed, and now they got to deal with stuff in their personal life. Personal life is going poorly, close the book on that, push that into the corner. Okay, I've got a few more hours in the day. What can I focus on now? And I think oftentimes what then happens, because we're trying to compartmentalize, is now we start to have little injuries or issues creep up. Symptoms could be anxiety, depression. As adults, could be anxiety, depression, could be an injury, could be whatever. Now you're spending more mental load on that. Close the book, put it into the corner. Now what kind of time do we have left? I think largely TMS is almost it's an epidemic of fear. I think Nicole Sachs puts it really, really well. I think that maybe part of it is control. What do we not feel in control of? So if we don't feel control of what's in our professional lives, and this has been as challenging of a last year in my personal life as I can ever recall. If we're just speaking July 2nd as I record, July 2nd of 2024 to July 2nd of 2025 as I record this, probably as challenging of a year in my, I'm trying to remember back, probably as challenging of a 1 year span of my personal life as I can recall. So challenges of fatherhood. Jennifer's been wonderful. You know, marriage is going great. Kids are growing up, and that has proven to be an unenviable task. You know, I have a lot of friends who have kids that are right in the same age range, and a lot of them are dealing with all sorts of different things with their kids, and this one is no exception, you know. When I was growing up, I'm sure that this occurred. When I was growing up and I was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I would have never thought that any kids had issues with high anxiety, really wicked depression, so much so that, you know, you seek outside help, and not just therapy, additional things, which is what we've been doing. And problems just continue. It's literally like every day. In fact, I dropped the kids off today and I said to one of them, please let today be the first day at camp this summer that I don't get pulled aside to have a conversation about your conduct. and sort of riding the line of, you know, don't want to create a traumatic experience for the kid later on, meaning like, you know, discipline or punishments or yelling or whatever. So not going that route, but maybe the kid needs some tough love. So it's been a big time balancing act, trying to figure out what is the right way to parent. And so that has been by far the biggest challenge of the last year, has been all of that. So back to the sales odyssey. Yes, I think that the biggest part of some of my challenges over the last year has largely ridden on me trying to deviate from what feels right as a professional and what I just know in my heart to be better. And who knows, maybe a year from now, I'll be doing the Sales Odyssey 3, the Sales Odyssey 3.0 episode, and I'll be in the same place. Who knows? Who really knows? But I will tell you this, what's gigantically different now from what was 9 years ago when I encountered very similar struggles was that at the time, if you would have taken me out on the street and somebody walked up to me with a gun and blown my brains out, I would have felt that I deserved it because that's how much my identity was intertwined with sales and how stupid that is. So, you know, tying yourself up really in anything and making it your entire identity is not going to bode well for you. I think the people that have that going on have lots of other issues and compensations that they're trying to make up or trying to, trying to make up. And I just can't be one of those. So I was saying to myself the other day as the last week of the fiscal was happening, I just kept saying, God, this is the least stressed I've been in a long time with work. Because it's just like, you know, what can you really do? I have bigger fish to fry, unfortunately, in my personal life. And so trying to balance all of that stuff and I think just being real with you guys is the biggest part of it. So this has been kind of a rambling session. What are some other things that are going on? As you listen to this, on the 3rd of July, it is Zoe's 11th birthday. Happy birthday to my sweet little Zoe. Tomorrow, on the 4th of July, I am racing my first race. I think the last time I ran a race that was timed was 2013 was the Tough Mudder. 2012, I did a obstacle 5K. It's only a little 5K. That's coming up on Friday. I've been running a bunch of 10Ks over the last 6 to 8 months. And I'm ready for this. I've had some pain in various parts of my feet, mostly my right foot. Could be TMS. It most likely is in large part a TMS thing. It's been a challenge finding shoes that I actually like running shoes I actually like. Let me tell you my beef with shoes and where the industry is heading right now. See, 15 years ago, 12, 13 years ago, all the rage was the low drop shoes for training, running, training, whatever. Vibram Five Fingers was big. New Balance Minimus were big. Reebok Nanos were really big. And then the last time I bought like a good pair of running shoes was like 2018. And that's what I've been using ever since. And so I see runners that are out there. And the common trend in running shoes right now is the super beefy soles. These enormous stack height shoes that almost look like they're platforms. And I always think that they look super goofy. So then I go out to buy some new running shoes because my trusty Nike Free 2018 Flyknits, they are at the end of the road. I can feel every rock underneath me. So I went out and I shopped. And much to my chagrin, the entire industry is these high stack height shoes. So, gosh, I was advised to go to a running store, went and did a gait analysis and all that stuff. You'd think that I shouldn't even be able to walk with how that gait analysis went. So I was told you got to get stability shoes because you have flat feet and you pronate and you do all this stuff. I'd never heard the term stability shoes until a month ago. And now I feel like it's all that I hear. So there's stability shoes and there's neutral shoes. Neutral shoes have always been what I've bought because I didn't know that stability even existed. So I go and I get some stability shoes. I got one run with those stability shoes. I felt awful. And I think that I interviewed the Alchemy physio not long ago, Dr. Aaron, and I sent the question to her, but I told her, hey, what I think is going on, the reason my knee feels so funky is that I was wearing a shoe that more or less was like a corrective cast, the stability shoes, and wasn't allowing my natural gait to just happen. She agreed with that. So I returned those after one run. I got some zero drop shoes from Ultra. Those felt terrible too. And I think that it was going from an 8 millimeter drop of my Nike Freeze to a 0 millimeter drop of the Ultras. And, you know, if the shoes feel good, I don't like how they look. And it's just, you know, my wife says that this is like my new cell phone problem. And oftentimes I find when I get obsessive thoughts about anything, cell phones, running shoes, motorcycles, whatever, often means that there's probably more work, TMS work, that needs to be examined. Funny how that works. So hopefully right now I've cracked that nut. I had my first run of my new shoes this morning. Went to the Brooks Running Outlet. Did not know that Brooks was a local Seattle-based company, so that's cool. Got the Brooks Hyperion? Don't know how to pronounce it. Max, but they're the 2023, so they're from 2 years ago. Got them very cheap. And I ran in them today, just a little. I did a 2K or a 2.8K. And they felt great, a little firm, but they felt great. And they fit me really well, and I'm excited. I don't know if I'm going to race in those on Friday. I might just race in my trusty Nikes and then retire them after that. But yeah, my whole training shoe regimen actually needs an overhaul, because I've been weightlifting for so many years now, but my weightlifting shoes have become very small. I've also had them for 11 years, and they are beat. No, 12 years, and they are beat to smithereens. So they need replacements. My CrossFit shoes are 6 years old. They have a hole in the bottom. They need a replacement. I don't like replacing stuff often. That's just how it is, especially with like footwear and clothes. Anyway, okay, this has been a fun episode. I hope you guys have a great holiday. If you're in the United States, 4th of July, it's one of my favorite times of year. It's Zoe's birthday. It's 4th of July. I'm taking a few days off. That's going to be nice. And then we'll be back next week. I got an interview coming up next week. I'm excited for it. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the Sales Odyssey 1 and the Sales Odyssey 2 and chatting with me about footwear. But I appreciate you all. Have a good weekend.